from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another. This is how you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. What does the word kabod sound like to you? It is not strictly onomatopoetic, like cuckoo or sizzle, but it does have a kind of roughness to it, something you would do with a blunt instrument. It is Hebrew, and indeed it does come from the word to heap weight on something or to be weighty. Yet it is the word used to translate glory in the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus, we hear, to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord was seen as a consuming fire on the mountaintop. When King Solomon completed the temple, when the priests left the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. So the priests could no longer minister because of the cloud, since the Lord's glory had filled the temple of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord intends to dwell in thick darkness." There is more than smoke here. There is real presence. Our idea of glory might be closer to fame and celebrated with a reception or a campaign rally, not a dark and frightening cloud. But John has chosen this word for a reason. If God is with us, he is felt. He means today, he has chosen us however weak, not as smoke, however thick. We are to be that presence. Our passage begins with when he had left. This is Judas. Judas and the apostles are at the Passover meal. Jesus had just washed their feet. This is unprecedented. Masters did not wash the feet of their pupils. And what did he mean by, "I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do"? To whom? When? Where? When we would think that the meal could not get more awkward, Jesus tells them that one of them will betray him. And this betrayal was shown in the most intimate manner. He literally gives Judas food from his own hand. Judas then leaves. And Jesus says to John, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." God is going to be felt. His presence made unmistakably known. He uses the title Son of Man, rather rare in John, and used by Jesus to refer to himself when he's revealing God in his majesty. He has been very clear to the disciples that he will be executed, and yet he says he will be glorified at once. He will be glorified not after or in spite of his death, but in and through it. He will show that his love is so great and overwhelming that he will lower himself to have the most horrific and shameful execution possible. This is humility, which embraces humiliation, but yet is the ultimate source of power. The washing of the feet was a clear sign that Jesus was showing us a new form of love, or at least providing a new interpretation. Therefore, a new commandment would be needed. It is, love one another as I have loved you. Love each other in service and charity. When everything has been said and done, this is how we are revealed as Christians. In modern terms, how have we treated the throwaways and the marginalized? This includes not only the poor in far-off places who are martyrs for the maintenance of our lifestyle, but those in our own family and neighborhood who are inconvenient or annoying. This is so difficult that we cannot do it unaided. God's glory is his presence. He does not come to us so that we can admire him, but that we can join with him and show his glory. A great saint wrote, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." Jesus gave his life that we can truly live. To see what we need to do, let us go back to Kabod, this time to the prophet Ezekiel. Jerusalem is under the final attack from the Babylonians. It is about to fall. The temple will be ransacked and destroyed. Elijah sees the glory of the Lord rose from the city and took a stand on the mountain, which is to the east of the city. The presence of God leaves the temple, but in the vision he sees, then he led me to the gate which faces the east. There I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. I heard a sound like the roaring of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. As the glory of the Lord entered the temple by way of the gate which faces the east, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the inner court. I saw that the temple was filled with the glory of the Lord. God would return and fill the temple with his glory. Although this passage and prophecy was well known, none of the prophets was inspired to say that the presence had returned. There is no vision, for instance, from Isaiah recording such a return. The temple still functioned, but the special presence, the kabod, the glory of God, was not there. Jesus' entrance to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was through the east gate. The presence of God was returning. But what is his key act? It is not a great demonstration of royalty, nor a celebration for the multitudes, but he washes the feet of his disciples. And how will most people see him? Staggering through the streets on his way to crucifixion. The glory has returned, but it is found in a love which lifts up the truly lowly, not builds up the well-connected. We are called to make the presence of Jesus felt, to throw his weight around. We are truly the temple of God, not so much as individuals, but as a community, as a church. But we do not do so by flouting what we have obtained on our own, but what we have received from Jesus. The command and the means of loving as he did. By reflecting the humility of Jesus, we, like him, bring forth the glory of God.